The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Something Was Wrong is intended for mature audiences. Episodes discuss topics that can be upsetting, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, suicide, and murder. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. I'm not a therapist or a doctor. Most names have been changed for anonymity purposes. Opinions expressed by guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent my views. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
You think you know me, you don't know me well.
I am Sage, and I recently, about a year and a half ago, was on the dating app Hinge. Dating apps were never really a part of my life at all. I'm in my 20s, though. I had done the whole university and grad school thing, and then when I moved back after grad school, the world shut down because of COVID, and the only way you met people or really got to know anybody was they were either your neighbor or you knew them from your past somehow. And meeting new people to date was kind of out of the question because you don't really want to date your neighbor. You don't want to date coworkers, and you're only meeting your coworkers through Zoom anyways. So I had some friends in the area that were my neighbors, and they were all encouraging me to try the dating apps out. I had always been kind of afraid of dating apps. It was never my thing in college or grad school. So I didn't really know which one to pick. And when people started explaining them to me, I didn't want Tinder because I was kind of told that was only for hookups. Wasn't really what I was looking for. I'm definitely more of a relationship type of person. So I was like, oh, I guess I'll go with Hinge because a lot of my friends had more positive things to say about Hinge. You can view a person's profile. You can tell where they are even in the area, which looking back is, that's a little creepy, a little bit of a creepy feature to me. But it says different little things about them, whatever they think you should know. So there's little prompts you can fill in like, you should know this about me, or what I do on a Sunday is this. And I thought it was kind of fun because who doesn't like really filling out profiles of like pictures about yourself and little fun like questions that you can answer. So I was like, I'll do the Hinge one. When I filled that out, I started matching with different people and figuring out who I didn't really like. And I guess there's a whole algorithm where the app starts sending you more people who you seem to click yes on. And I ended up matching with a guy by the name of Carter. I was the one who matched with him. I said yes to him, mostly because on his profile, it said he was a Christian. At that time, I was going to church. I had always grown up in the church. I was going back to church to basically make friends, but also just kind of to reconnect with my faith. And I was like, okay, well, if I want a relationship, I guess they should have the same beliefs. And having the same type of religion, you have a basic understanding of like the same values in a way. I found that later on, that's definitely not always true. Other things that stuck out to me was he was super outdoorsy. I'm super outdoorsy. I have a Labrador. Hiking, paddleboarding, being by lakes is very important to me. I also live in the big state of Texas. So, I mean, you kind of got to live near some sort of body of water just to continue living in this heat. Other things is it was just basic attraction. He was a good looking guy. He had tattoos, which I only have one tattoo, but I was like, oh, he's kind of edgy. I clicked yes, and we started a conversation, and right away, he was saying all the right things. I was like, oh my goodness, like, this person actually exists. He was very courteous, very kind, always asking me questions. He was very sweet, very kind of Casanova, had that Southern charm, and I grew up in Jersey, so Southern charm, those types of manners, the big gentleman thing, very, very different is all I'm going to say. Southern boys have a very different version of gentleman type about them. He was saying all the right things, what you think any love story would be like, always asking me what I liked. And with some of the other guys on Hinge, they'd be like, hey, and I'd be like, well, hi, how's your day going? And then they'd be like, oh, well, my day is great. I'm at work. End of conversation. Don't ask about you. Don't ask about anything. So I was like, okay, well, this guy actually knows how to have a conversation. I learned later that it was more of an act. He had this nice Southern gentleman roll or lines down to a T. Very polished. We started talking the last week of January. And in February, he messages me and he's like, hey, what are you doing on Valentine's Day? And I was like, there's no way this guy's going to ask me out on Valentine's Day. In the back of my head, thought it was a little weird. My best friend, Delan, was like, you're seriously going out with a stranger on Valentine's Day? Because her and I had actually planned a girls' day where we'd Zoom together. We live in different states, but she's my sister. I should have listened to a lot of Della's advice. But I did not. I was like, I don't want to be alone on Valentine's Day. I'm going to go out because I haven't been taken out on Valentine's Day. I think the last time I was taken out was probably my sophomore year of undergrad. So I was like, I am going out on Valentine's Day. However, as many of you know, the Texas storm arrived. When the Texas storm came in, it was one of our worst storms in history. And it shut down everything in Texas. No one was going anywhere. Apartments got shut down for weeks. I didn't have running water for like 3 weeks. But the day it started was Valentine's Day. I remember messaging him 3 times being like, because he wanted to drive. He lived almost a half an hour from me and the roads were already getting bad. Texas doesn't know how to deal with snow or even heavy rain. He's like, no, I'm going to drive up. I really want to see you. I told you that we were going to get together. I made reservations. He had everything in line. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's really fighting for a chance to meet me. That's new. Most guys would be like, okay, yeah, never mind. See you later. Which I would have been fine with, but he was very insistent. And I thought it was very, very charming. We get to the restaurant. And we were like one of maybe 5 couples in the restaurant. He at first didn't necessarily look like his profile picture. He was wearing glasses and he wasn't wearing glasses in any of his other photos. But I excused it because I know a lot of people wear contacts sometimes. His stature was a little bit different. So we go to the table. He's like, do you want the booth? Do you want the chair? Really asking me what I like about things and what I don't like. He complimented me. Again, all that Southern gentleman charm. I don't normally drink a lot of alcohol at all, and I make that very clear to people right off the bat. I'm a very short, tiny person, so drinking alcohol is not necessarily always the best idea for me. I told him it was fine if he did, but I made it clear right off the bat that I'm not really about that. Drugs also came up, and I told him right away, I'm not really about that. He was very understanding. He's like, oh yeah, no, I used to kind of dabble with that stuff, but totally over it, not about it. I was like, okay, cool. We're on the same page about that. Then the conversation got a little bit strange. He had noticed that I had church on my Hinge profile. I believe on my Sunday thing, I said that I get up and go to church and then do brunch or go to the lake. It was something like that. I don't have my profile anymore on any of these dating apps, but I had a lot about church. In his mind, he thought that I was very, very extremely, extremely religious. He started playing up his religion and he kept talking about it, saying how religious he was and his values and morals. It almost got to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is more religious than I am. But later he was like, I want to recommit to the church too. The next time you go to church, let me know and I'll start coming to church with you, which that was big for me. I don't think I had ever gone with a guy to church before in my life. There's not many guys that will do that unless if you're like months into your relationship. This is something that my guy friends, Ethan, Austin, and then my best friend, Della, all pointed out. They were like, ah, that's a little strange. Didn't listen. I thought he was just a nice guy. I thought he was really, truly committing back to his morals and everything. I was like, oh, this is the keeper. This is a marrying type of guy. He even brought marriage up on our first date, which that did scare me. But I, again, excused it because of the way he was talking about it. He's like, I want kids. I want to raise them in the church. He's marking all those check boxes that your mother kind of has for you in your life. When it really got strange, though, on that first date was at the end, he asked me if he could get a picture together. And the waitress kind of looked at me and she was like, are you okay with this? At the beginning of the date, he told her when she was first came to the table, he's like, this is our first date. Can you believe it? We're out here on Valentine's Day. I took her out on Valentine's Day, almost like he was bragging about it. I was not okay with him taking a photo, but I'm one of those girls that feels really awkward if someone asks, like, hey, can we get a photo? Before I went through this experience, I definitely did not have hard boundaries, which I've learned to set up now, or if I'm uncomfortable with something, I now say it. Back then, I was more appeasing and more like, okay, like, sure, we can get a photo. And so he had her take like two or three photos of us. Before we left, he actually stole the flower from the table and he was trying to give it to me. And I had said no to that flower. I was like, no, you're not supposed to take stuff off the tables of restaurants. And this would later on become a habit. Every time we went somewhere to a restaurant, it seemed like he would always take the flower. I think one time he took something else. I'm not remembering the object, but it was some piece of silverware or something. I thought it was really, really strange. And then he'd send me pictures of the items that he took. He's like, I still have the original flower. And that was a month after we had first started meeting. At the end of the date, it was snowing harder. And he's like, let me walk you home to make sure you get home safe. I didn't have to drive. I lived only a few blocks away. And I was like, oh, again, such a gentleman walking me home, doesn't want me to slip and fall on the ice. Great. Later, after I ended up speaking with victim services at the very, very end of this experience, I found out he was trying to figure out where I lived. One of the warnings that I was given was never, especially if you're on a dating app and you don't know a person who you're dating, you should not have them walk you home. And you should not show them exactly where you live because you just met the person. Back then, I didn't really realize that. I'm like, oh, he seems normal. He is this Christian guy. What could go wrong? Later on, I would find out what would really, really go wrong with that.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I call my best friend at the end of the date, and I tell her everything that happened. And she was very hesitant about it. She's like, well, I want to be happy for you, but I really think it's weird that he took a photo. I really think it's strange that he was talking about the Christianity thing the way he was. She did not like the fact that he brought up marriage. And Della is very great at giving me advice I don't want to hear because she's probably the one who's toughest on me, but also probably loves me the most out of a lot of people I know. I should have started to heed her warnings a little bit. She knows me. She's like, don't get caught up on a guy you just met. The two frozen princesses. She's Elsa, who's like, you can't marry a guy you just met. And I'm like Anna, that's like, oh, but he's fabulous. No, they turn out not to be fabulous. That same day, he sent me a message thanking me for going on the date with him, which I thought was very sweet, because normally I'm the one that sends the message like, hey, thanks for taking me out. When he dropped me off, he asked if he could kiss me. And I was like, not yet, which I'm glad I said that. But I also thought that was too soon, a little strange. I would soon learn that he was trying to escalate this relationship very, very fast, kind of like love bombing. The next day, he sends me another message to see if I'm okay with the winter storm. He wanted to know if I had power, what was going on, if there was anything that I needed. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I don't have power and my water's off, but they said it's only supposed to last a little bit. Later, we'd find out it would last like 3 weeks. By day three, he was still texting me and he actually asked to FaceTime me. So he had gotten in his car to charge his phone, because that's what everyone was doing in order to charge their electronics. He FaceTimes me from his car. It was about 9 p.m. that night. We talked, I think, for almost 2 hours on FaceTime. And he's like, well, now I'm going to go back in to see my roommate. I might go to my brother's house. He's like, I don't really know where I'm going to go. I'm like, okay, as long as you're safe and I'm safe. I ended up going to my parents because they had running water and heat. I drove my car through the ice with these huge cars coming around me and made it there. I stayed there for the next, would be like 2.5 weeks through this winter storm because my apartment was still completely, everything was shut down. And a lot of the grocery stores were shut and everything. Thankfully, my parents had a ton of stuff. But every single day, he's texting or trying to call me. He said he was at his brother's or his friend's, but he never once showed me a picture of his family. He never shot a picture of his brother or anything like that. It was always just him. Later on, I would start asking about his family. When the winter storm was over, the day I got back to my apartment, he's like, well, let me take you out so you don't have to worry about going and getting groceries for yourself and cooking dinner. So we went out and got sushi because sushi's like my favorite food. He started to ask me about what I thought about him, if I saw the long-term relationship with him. This was only the second time we actually met in person, but in my head, I had been rereading his profile, seeing the pictures. I had FaceTimed with him and messaged him. So I made excuses being like, oh, well, technically I know him. I've been talking to him. You can kind of qualify Zoom dates as dates. No, you cannot. You cannot qualify Zoom dates as actual dates. You don't get body language. You don't get personality, really. I learned a lot about how almost ineffective communication is through Zoom. Even though I do it on a daily basis for work, If you're trying to invest in someone relationship-wise or build something with someone that's stronger than just a mediocre relationship, it definitely should be in person. But in my head, I knew him and I was like, well, I definitely am looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for a one-night stand. I'm not looking for like a quick fling or anything like that. And he's like, oh yeah, me too, me too. He's like, how soon is too soon for like me to ask you to be in a relationship? I was like, we should probably go on a few more dates and stuff like that. Again, he started walking me home. My apartment has gated doors. So I did my card to scan in. I opened it. You walk through a courtyard. I was on the ground apartment. If you're a single woman, you probably shouldn't live on the ground floor. But I did because I didn't want to haul all my stuff up to another floor when I moved in. I showed him which unit was mine. I did not let him in my place at that time, but he knew what number I was by then. He also knew how to get into the gates as well. He left, and then right away, he's like, I want to see you again. When can I see you next? We started seeing each other rather frequently. I don't even think we'd go full 2 days without seeing each other. I have a busy work schedule, and he said he did as well. Every single day that we were meeting, he's like, let's meet at 5, exactly at 5. And I was like, okay, I sign off at 5, but I guess I can make that happen. We'd meet at 5. We'd go for dinner or we'd go to the big park outdoor recreation because I have my Labrador who he got to meet. The day he met my lab, I call my dog my son because he's very much my son. But the day he met my lab, he's like, oh, I'm going to be his dog dad. That bothered me. A guy I recently dated also had said that right when they met my dog. And for some reason, that really bothers me. That should have been a red flag for me as well, because it's like, it's my dog, it's not your son. Even like if we were dating, it's not your son. If you're a dog mom or a cat mom, I think you'll get this a little bit more. I'm very possessive of my dog, but he called himself the dog dad. And I was like, you just met him. My dog tends to like everyone because he's a Labrador. It was a really strange experience. He never wanted to sit with him or anything, which that's a big red flag. If your pet doesn't like a guy, well, that should be a big, big sign. But he would bring me out to these restaurants and he would always have me home before 9 o'clock. Even in high school when I was on dates, I wasn't home at 9 o'clock. I thought it was very strange. Eventually, Della was the one who brought up, she's like, I hate to tell you this. It's either he's seeing someone else, or he's probably like drinking or doing drugs. I was like, okay, like noted. The next time we went on a date, I had already had a day and I can get moody. I admit it, I can get moody. He took me out and it was 5 o'clock. We were at another sushi restaurant, very close to my place. It always had to be close to my apartment. By the time the check came, it was 7, and he's like, okay, well, let me get you home. And I finally was like, why do you always take me home early, like pretty early in the night? I asked him, are you seeing another girl, or are you drinking, or are you doing drugs? He's like, no, not at all. You just seem really busy, and your work schedule's hard. I'm just trying to be sincere and courteous. I'm just thinking of you. I'm like, oh, okay. I dropped it. I was like, oh, that makes sense. But I did explain to him, I'm like, no, we can stay out later. I don't have to go home and sleep right away. We can stay out and actually do what most couples do, stay out till like 3 a.m. on a Friday sometimes having fun. He was like, oh, okay. Well, let me still get you home early tonight and the next time we'll do that. He started planning things more during the day, like a hike or something. And I was like, okay, well, this is still weird. The next night activity he planned, though, I was like, let me meet your friend. He had met Austin and some of my other friends. Austin, my guy friend, when he first met him, was like, he's not the usual guy I would put you with. He's not the one that you normally go and like talk to when we go out. He also thought he was rather skittish when he started asking him questions. And let me be clear, Austin is not a threatening guy. He is very nice. He is a social butterfly, one of the most open guys. He can relate to anyone on anything. So for him to think that Carter was super uncomfortable or skittish around him, I was like, well, that's weird. No one has ever told me they've had a problem with Austin either. Because Carter did mention that he didn't really get along with Austin either. And I was like, okay, well, maybe they're kind of opposite. Carter's more the sporty guy. Maybe they're just different. Later on, I'd find out it's Ethan who picked up on that Carter was skittish because Carter couldn't keep his story straight with all my friends. He'd always backtrack on things or try and re-say things in different ways. So Ethan is really the one that ends up kind of picking up more on how strange this guy ends up being. But despite the warnings from Austin and Della off the bat, I was like, no, I still want to get to know him. I want to know his friends. So I go and meet Carter's friends, and he says that I'm meeting his roommate and his one friend with his friend's girlfriend. I was happy to meet the roommate because at this point I had never been in Carter's car. I always either drive to the restaurant to meet him or I met him somewhere or I walked and met him because we were always going around places where I was. I parked and I'm like, okay, he does have a car. At least I get to know the roommate. Maybe I can get a glimpse of what his place might look like because you can kind of gauge how someone lives based on who they are and who they live with. I was excited to meet his friends, and especially another girl. It's always exciting to meet a girl who's a friend of the guy you're dating. I don't know. I always find that fascinating. This is a chance I get to see another glimpse into his life because I'd only known him. I haven't been to his place yet. I haven't been in his car yet. I get to meet his roommate at least. Now I get to know another piece of him. When I was walking up with him to go meet his friends, we were in the big park that's in our city. When I went up to them, it was very, very clear that they were completely high. They definitely had been using drugs. I can spot drugs like a mile away. In college, I had to take people to the hospital for it. I know when someone is high, or I can normally tell exactly what types of drugs are in their system just by looking at them. So that caught me off guard. On that first date, he was very clear that he probably would only have like 1 to 2 beers tops, and he hadn't used drugs for a long, long time. That was like in his high school past even. I was like, okay, well, this is strange because your very, very good friend, his girlfriend, and your roommate are all using. Also, they did not have the same type of attitudes that my friends do, where they're very engaging. They originally just ignored me, really, when I sat down. Didn't try to engage. The girl, she's on drugs, so she was in a different world when I met her. She was running around to different people in the park, too, and talking to them, so I didn't really get to know her a lot. But when she did come up, she was flirting with every single guy at the table. Then there was another man who comes up. He twirls fire for a living. That's what you see in the park when you're here. But he clearly knew Carter because he comes up and he's like, hey, it slaps him on the back, inserts himself right in the middle between me and him. He's shooting the breeze with them. And I was like, this is very strange. He was also clearly using something. And Carter's just there trying to smile, but he kept looking at me with this fear in his eyes. I'm very uncomfortable because a lot of the subjects they were talking about were rather inappropriate. And they turned to me and started asking very inappropriate questions about our relationship, like if we'd slept together, wanting to know different details. And I was like, this is not the type of conversation I have with anyone ever. I don't think I ever have deep conversations like that in public. Della and I don't even go across that line if things happen. Like, I don't need to know all the dirty details. It was a very different experience for me. I was like, hey, I gotta go. I'm gonna go let my son River out, my dog, because I always use him as an excuse if I can. I start walking back to my car, and of course Carter jumps to his feet and he's like, I'll walk you back. I'm very caught off guard here. I did make it kind of clear that that was not okay. On our walk to my car, I told him, thanks for introducing me to your friends. I said it in a nice way, but I was like, they are nothing like my friends. And I did question him on the substance abuse. I was like, well, if all the people who are close to you are using, that kind of makes me question if you're using or not. You haven't had me to your place yet. I haven't even seen your car. And he started making excuses for it. By the time I got to my car, I was like, look, I'm just going to go home. Let me think about this. I wish, looking back at that, that that would have been what broke the camel's back for me, realizing kind of who he was. But it did not. On the way home, I had called Austin and told him what had happened. He's like, that's not okay. He even offered to go for a walk with me and talk it out. I was like, no, I'm fine. I think I'm just going to have to talk to Carter about it and make sure that he's not using. Austin called me out on it. He's like, if you believe he's not using, but he hasn't had you to his place and you haven't even sat in his car, he's like, then you're, he basically called me an idiot. And I'm like, okay. Della later on told me basically the exact same thing. Carter tries to call me while I'm talking to Austin. I kept sending him to voicemail. He left voicemails. I finally called him back. And he's like, look, I'm so sorry. I'll completely leave my friends if they bother you. I don't need to be friends with them. I don't even need to talk to my roommate. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not asking you to abandon your friends. Because I knew if he had ever would ask me to do that, I'd be like, no, my friends are my friends. But he's like, no, it's fine. It's totally fine. I don't ever need to talk to them. I told you I want to recommit to my faith. I don't need this influence in my life. Again, trying to say all the right things to me to make sure everything was okay and that I continued to believe this kind of like, I'm going to be a good Christian guy narrative that he was trying to give to me. I was like, okay, if that's really what you want to do, that's fine. It should have been the ultimate red flag. If someone's willing to just leave their friends completely for you, that's very, very strange, especially knowing if you yourself would never do that. It's definitely telling because if people can leave people so quickly that were so important to them in their life, I should have asked myself, well, what if he decides to do that to me one day? What if he decides to just be like, oh, she's not a good influence and leave? But I didn't think that way. We continued to date, and he even went to church with me. And he's like, let's join small groups. I'll join the men's small group. You can be in the women's small group. We ended up going to the church group. I made really, really good close friends with these girls. He became really close with the guys. Even the pastor ended up knowing our names because Carter and I would be going to church. We fully invested ourselves full force into this church. As problems started coming up and I shared them with some of the girls, I wasn't supported the way I thought I would be. If anything, they ignored it. I always only had to lean on basically Ethan, Austin, and Della, and my parents a little bit. But being in the church, it gave me the illusion that we were this really good Christian couple. And I think the church wanted to believe that as well. They loved our story. We met on Valentine's Day. We're a couple that goes to church together because not a lot of people in their 20s decide to go to church on Sunday morning. So they wanted to keep that image up, like we have 20-year-old couples that come together. A week after the incident with his friends happened, he asked me to be his girlfriend by giving me that Instagram book. I don't really know what it's called, but he knew I loved taking pictures for Instagram and editing them. I'm a big Instagrammer. So he's like, let's do an Instagram challenge, couples style. And you can get these books for friends, you can get them for family, and then there's a couples one. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. And he wrote a note. He was big on writing handwritten notes. I was like, cool, we'll fill it out together. I thought it was super sweet. That's super personal. And he's like, oh, I had to order this. Again, talking himself up, he had to go through all these struggles to make this happen. And I'm like, okay, wonderful. I was like, yeah, I've got this great guy. Once we were official, I was like, well, he should meet my parents.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So, after church, my parents came up from their service to take us both out for lunch. And he met my parents, did the whole, like, yes, sir, shaking my dad's hand. If you could picture a perfect greeting of a father and a guy, it happened. We went and got barbecue. He offered to pay. My dad's like, no, I've got it. Thanks. Both my mom and my dad really liked him. They thought he was fine. They thought he was very respectful. So I was like, okay, we're going to go with that. He's a good guy. If my dad and my mom both approve, then he's got to pass the test. Because I've had it where neither my dad or my mom approved. I've had some of the worst experiences you could have introducing a guy to your father, where my dad didn't even acknowledge that the guy came in the room. I was like, good, my dad's talking to this one, so this one must be a keeper. Later on, he was like, this is so important to me that your parents really like me. His parents were divorced, he told me, and he said that his dad was extremely abusive to him growing up. He said that his dad pointed a gun at him at one point. When he told me that story, it was very strange because he didn't have any emotion. We were walking and he's just like, oh yeah, my dad pointed a gun at me once. To me, especially growing up where I did, a parent doesn't randomly point a gun at you. But again, I excused him. I was unsettled. It's even today, it's very unsettling that he would tell a story like that about being abused. It was very unemotional, as if it was like, I had a sandwich for lunch. Something so casual. And I'm like, this is super, super unsettling that you have like zero emotion surrounding this. Della's like, well, maybe that didn't happen. Maybe he just wants you to think that happened. To this day, I honestly don't know if any of those things happened to him. If they did, that's tragic. He said, I love you, like very soon. I think it was only 4 weeks even into meeting me, even before he asked me to be his girlfriend. He said that he loved me and he wanted to marry me. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's intense. He always told me, he's like, it's okay if you're not ready yet, but I'm going to marry you. Later on, I had sent Della even a Pinterest board of wedding colors. And Della's like, you've known this guy for a month and a half and you have a wedding Pinterest board. But to me, I thought I'd met this dream guy. I was like, you know what? Some people meet and they get married right away. You don't know. Maybe it works. But I really started like falling hard for this guy and ignoring all the red flags. He would say that his dad and mom are divorced. And then he'd mix up the towns that his parents lived in. I asked him about his step-siblings, and again, he'd mess up their names sometimes. I couldn't keep it straight, and I thought it was just me because I'm bad with names. He was talking about his brother, and I was like, your brother, you said that you stayed with him during the winter storm. Do I get to meet your brother? You met my family. Can I meet your family? He's like, yeah, let me try and arrange that. It took almost 3 weeks for him to arrange meeting his brother. And this is where I should have just slammed my fist on the table and been like, this does not make sense. Because when we got to the restaurant, he and I were sitting on the curb waiting for them. This guy and this girl get out of a car, and this guy was the spitting image of Carter. I get up and I'm waving at this guy, and this guy's just staring at me. Carter sitting on the curb looking up at me like, what are you doing right now? I start walking towards this guy. I'm like, I'm Sage. And the guy goes past, literally skirts around me as if I have something and keeps walking. And I turn back to Carter and I'm like, isn't that your brother? And he's like, no, that's not my brother. This is my brother. This guy's pulling up in a car. And then this guy and this girl come up. Carter was something in the 5 foot range. This guy, way over 6 feet tall. Carter was more tan, dark hair. And the guy walking up to me, super blonde. And I'm just like, did the milkman drop one of you off? What's going on here? He's like, no, this is my brother. He just takes after my mom's side more. I'm like, okay, yeah. Just nodding my head and accepting it as a fact. The girl walking up is like, hey, I'm Carrie. I have been dating him for a while now. Then we come and sit down at the table and I start asking his brother, Lee. So Lee, like, what do you do? Carter's told me this about you. You played football and like blah, blah, blah. And he's just staring at me, nodding his head. I was like, well, like, you have anything to add to this conversation? And he's just like, yeah, that's pretty much me. Both him and his girlfriend are just silent, not saying anything, which I thought was really weird. And then Carter's like, we're going to go order some stuff, maybe get some drinks. Carrie's sitting there and she's just staring at me. I was like, when did you guys meet? She kind of just sat there for a while and she's like, we met back in college, which that's not what Carter told me. Carter told me they met here. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe Carter got it wrong. I don't know if my brother would keep my story straight of how I met someone. And again, I excused it, but the whole dinner was that way. They couldn't tell me anything about their past. I asked Lee about their dad and the mom, and he always looked at Carter. He even said things like, oh, Carter's better at telling that than I am. I basically was rubbed wrong by them not being very responsive to the conversation at all. I kind of played it off as, oh, well, maybe they're introverts or maybe they just don't like me. So then a few days go by. I'm having a friend's night. And this is where everything goes wrong.
That's next time on Something Was Wrong. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay safe, friends. Something Was Wrong is a Broken Cycle Media production, created and hosted by me, Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to support the show further, you can share episodes with your loved ones, leave a positive review, or follow Something Was Wrong on Instagram at Something Was Wrong Podcast. Our theme song was composed by Glad Rags. Check out their album, Wonder Under. Thank you so much. Yeah.